All
Ahora
right.
ya
Oh man. Tell him to go watch us while he goes to bed. You just
Kindness,
watch it in
daddy's
the bed.
iPad. iPad. Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Toddcast, everybody. I'm joined this week by one of our awesome customers from the Ohio Valley store, Zach Thompson. This was kind of like it worked out well because Justin couldn't make it, and I was like, I think and he had asked to come on and just kind of hang out, and I was like, well, what are you doing? And
Worked
it
out
just worked
perfect.
out. Yeah, man, it was great. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
absolutely, man. This is gonna be a lot of fun. So we're gonna do something a little different this week. So this week we're gonna do just two book reviews each, and then we're gonna talk about Zach wanted to talk about his favorite comic covers. So he picked three, I picked three. We're gonna share those, and then we're gonna talk about what it's like being a comic customer today. Is really what it's going to be like, and what Zach likes to do, what he likes to collect, what he likes to read, all that fun stuff. Getting to know one of our customers, I think this is a great opportunity and a cool, fun, maybe new segment that we could start doing more often. And if you like this afterwards, if you're not traumatized completely, you're more than welcome to come back on every once in a while and just hang out at some point. So
Heck yeah.
first. Thanks for coming on. It's a pleasure having you. We talk a lot, just as friends talking about comics and stuff. So this is very cool. I guess my first thing is, are you excited for local comic shop day this Saturday?
It's
Yeah.
gonna be cool. Yeah. I'm gonna go to the store at the mall, the Ohio Valley Mall, and try to get some half price dollar books.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. All stores half price dollar books. The only place it's not half off, the warehouse. So don't, well, I don't want to say don't go to the warehouse, but the warehouse books are not going to be on sale. but I will actually be in Canton at Hall of Fame Comic Con. So if anyone's interested in coming up there and hanging out and giving me a high five, or buying some books for me, I'll be there. I believe it's 10 to 6 at the Civic Center in downtown Canton. It's right across from Wendy's. It's a great time. I'm heading up tomorrow to set up. I always have a blast at this show. Those guys put on a great show. So make sure you come out for that. It'll be a good time. So we do have some guys in the chat, just so you guys know. So what's up, guys in the chat? If you guys have questions for Zach, you can totally put them in the chat and I'll read them out loud later. I guess before we go into everything, like tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what do you do in real life? What got you into comics? And then we'll go into the comic reviews.
I work a boring just warehouse job. That's it, man. That's it.
Which warehouse do you work at?
A drywall factory.
Yeah, that is really fucking boring. You're literally watching drywall
Every day.
every day.
N
That's wow.
nothing, nothing fun.
But I
Just
bet you're like
covered
an
in dust.
expert on how the different thicknesses of
Oh,
drywall
there's, you wouldn't believe how many there are, man. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's kind of mind-blowing.
I just need to figure out how to get a drill to go through like the firewall stuff. Like I can't get it to drill through it. It's not supposed to, but
No, it's
I
not.
guess it
Yeah, man, that stuff's tough.
yeah, our butler store, the walls are lined in that stuff, so it's hard to get like the hang
Oh.
stuff on the walls. It's really,
You ain't
really
gotta worry about
crazy.
the walls crumbling. Promise that.
Right. Cool. All right, so how long have you been reading comics?
I'm 31, so since I was like five, so 26
Wow.
years.
So since like 1999-ish.
Yep.
Woo. I was a
Yep.
junior in high school and getting ready to play in my band all the time, and I was kind of on the kind of like, I'll read comics as I can, because where I grew up was a very small town. Think of it like smaller, small, oh man, like Bridgeport, right?
Got it.
Maybe even smaller than Bridgeport. And the only places you could buy books were two. There were two. There was a drugstore, and there was an actual place called the newsstand. And one had like a 4 foot section of tiered books, and then the other one just had a spin rack, and that's it. And if you missed it, you were screwed, because they only ordered like four copies of anything. Yeah. So it was, and I was kind of getting more into music at the time too, so whatever. But anyway, cool. All right, so we are going to talk about some comic reviews, and then we'll get into some other stuff. But I'm really, really excited to have you on. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So, oh yeah, you can totally swear on this, by the way, if you feel the urge to do so. So,
Cool.
all right. Whoop. That is not the button I wanted to push. Okay. So my first book. Whoop, wrong share. Whoops. Thought I hit the wrong one. There we go. Yay. So my first book is Masters of the Universe, The Sword of Flaws. So this is written by Tim Seeley, with art by Freddie Williams. It is very much so in tune with everything else that Tim Seeley's written. It starts off with Prince Stahl and Prince Adam having dinner on like a carriage, I guess, while they're traveling to Castle Grayskull. And of course there's something that goes wrong. An earthquake happens, but you find out that the earthquake is actually caused by Skeletor and a core breaker, which was a leftover weapon from the Great Wars, which was way back in the day when the sorceress was a young lady. And it almost seems like Skeletor is going to win, but of course the fight ensues. Man-at-Arms and Triclops have a throwdown. Teela beats Cobra Khan in the face with her staff, and then like boots Evil-Lyn in the face. There's some great action sequences in here. He-Man comes to the rescue, and Triclops sees something in or that he shouldn't see it as an X-ray, and it like freaks him out really badly. The rest of the team kind of yells at Prince Stahl for trying to get involved and then trying to steal the core breaker for himself. They then talk about how, his parents were super embarrassed and agreed to, do de-escalation with the Eternian or the yeah the Eternians. At the end of the book, Stratos, who can fly, is flying around this mountain on the Cairn of Pantheos range, and he finds that there is an actual opening, and this is the mountain in which that Zodiac lives. And another sword shows up in a stone, and it's a purple version of the Power Sword, which is the Sword of Flaws. Which is, if you see the cut, as you see the cover there, the one that Skeletor usually uses. So it very much sets up to finding this sword. I'm curious what the story is going to be like, as Adam's sword is the Sword of Power, this being the Sword of Flaws. We'll see how it goes and what it does to Skeletor, if it powers him up, ramps him up. We're gonna see what goes on. I'm giving this book a like a 8 out of 12, because the story, while the story is good, it's kind of a little convoluted and doesn't really get to the point fast. It's a very much so like kind of sitting through an opening monologue, and just trying to reintroduce people to some of the characters. So it's not, it doesn't move super great, but where it gets to is cool, and I'm curious to where it goes on. So that's why I gave it an 8 out of 12. So go for it.
All right, this is my first review, so like I've never done this shit before. So,
You're fine.
yeah.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
All right, so my book was Detective Comics 1101. It's awesome. It's written by Tom Taylor, and the art was by Mikkel. I'm gonna butcher this man's name. Janinen. We're gonna go with it, but
Sure, sounds good.
he did the art, the color, and like the cover, and like
Wow.
it, yeah, man. And like that color just pops on the cover,
Yeah, it does.
yeah. And I mean, the whole book is just so dark and broody. And like the blue, the new suit that they just introduced just looks it, that blue pops in the
Nice.
whole story. And the book starts out as like a, it starts back then. Just that's all it says. Just says then. Batman's going over an old case that he went through, and he says, you know, Gotham was afraid of the night. And, you know, he says, I've never wanted people to fear, to have fear, to feel it. And he says that he wants to strike the fear into the hearts of criminals. And that's his purpose. And that's what he does. And then all of a sudden we just get thrown into now. And I'm on a boat. And I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool. You know, it's murky. Gotham's all just covered in fog. And I'm like, all right, that's all right. And you know, I'm not really sure what's going on, but when you turn the next page, man, and he's in the water, Batman's in the water, diving down to see what's going on this boat. The colors just pop. It's crisp. He saves a woman from drowning. It's awesome. And then all of a sudden, everybody's just kind of just chilling, right? Just standing on the boat. And Batman's just like, did anybody notice the dead bodies in the water? Like,
What?
yeah, like nobody's paying attention to this. They're all too worried about the lady drowning, but nobody paid attention that there is 41 dead bodies in the water and on the other boat. There's two boats, and the one boat has 41 dead bodies, and nobody has noticed this. Nobody has paid any mind to this.
Wow.
How the hell do you not notice 41 dead bodies in the water and on the boat?
Well, I mean, think about Dexter, right? Like, no one noticed all those trash bags piling up? Come on.
Seriously. And then, I mean, pretty much the rest of the story, because this is a new build up to a new arc, is that he's just examining all the bodies to see what's going on, to figure out what the pattern is. And all of a sudden he starts hearing like a sound, like a little like a pitter patter kind of. And he goes down into the bottom of the boat, and there's just a kid just chilling there playing like a handheld video game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, except this kid's sick, dude. It's bad. Like he's sick,
Oh,
sick. And on the wall there was a message. It says, "The fear will end, Gotham. Your courage is coming, the Lion."
wow.
And I'm kind of intrigued as to where this is gonna go, because everybody on this boat all like died from just like a mysterious illness. And all of a sudden, when Batman encounters the kid, he thinks that now it's like airborne, like there's something here. And then he puts on his, you know, little gas mask. But at that point, I mean, it's too little too late. So he ends up going to Central City to see Mr. Terrific to see if he could just figure out what this is, and they take Bruce's blood, and Bruce now has whatever pathogen that was in the air is now in his blood, and that's how it ends. Yeah. Oh, and I
Cool.
forgot. And I forgot. He takes one of the dead bodies and just throws it in the bat boat. Like his little bat thing. He just throws it in
Yeah.
there. Yeah. And the cop's just like, yeah, we're cool with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was
All
fun.
right. So out of 12, what do you give this book?
The art alone carries it. Because it's all brand new. Like it's mainly just there's no action, there's no fighting in it, but it's just so beautiful the way that the story is told through the art. So it gets a 10 because of art. And I mean, I love Tom Taylor, so I know he's about to cook. So we'll give it 11. We'll give him the extra one. It's not a 12.
Ooh, awesome. I'm excited. When I heard Tom Taylor was moving over to Detective Comics takeover, I thought that was a good move. And as we were kind of talking beforehand, I think that this is going to partner with the Fraction Batman stuff really well. So, because I think they kind of have similar vibes on how well they were going to write this character. And I think they both have phenomenal artists with them, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm glad that like they're gonna be like continuity, like they're gonna try to work side by side and not give you two different Batmans.
I hate when that happens. So
Yeah, because you got one story going on, you know, we're talking about 2025, and then the next story is in 2024, but it's not making any sense because it's like you're not my Batman. That's not my Batman.
Yeah, that's annoying. So. All right. My second book is Ultimate Hawkeye number one, from Marvel. And this starts out with Claw, Ultimate Claw, I should say, being real paranoid at his house. And then from across the city, Hawkeye literally shoots an arrow that goes around corners, breaks apart, shatters all the glass. Like does all the countermeasures and then shoots him in the eye, pulling his robotic eye out and killing him right like that. Yeah, it was crazy. I was just like, what the hell? So this Hawkeye is Charlie Ramsey, by the way, not Clint. Because the original Clint, I guess like abandoned his bow, like he just kind of left it and ran. So Charlie claimed the mantle. And they've been fighting against Roxxon, which you know happens. So Charlie goes to this I want to say like sort of like underground club thing meeting where he has to wear a mask and wear, you know, pay a penny thing, like some kind of like coin. And he goes in there. It's sort of like a dominatrix party, but not like think like Eyes Wide Shut meets like prison sex. We'll call it that. So he eventually goes into this room that he's supposed to like find a senator in, and two guys are in there, and they blow dart him. He then, you know, tries to escape, doesn't. He wakes up in a dungeon with a hammer and a ruler on a table. So they say, you know, pick your weapon and then your tool and then leave. So he goes down the hallway, and there are two tables. One where he has to put his hand in there and use the hammer to break off the superfluities, or you just put the ruler in the thing. And he's like, "Really? I could have chosen the ruler." He's like, "Well, you chose the hammer." So he has to put his hand down and then wail on it, where he basically breaks some fingers, but doesn't like cut himself, I think. Which then opens a room with all of his Hawkeye gear. So he goes in and gets his Hawkeye gear. All of a sudden, like, tries to shoot an arrow to get out of there, ends up in a different room. This room has four colors on the floor. He's given a riddle by the voice over, and he figures out the riddle to get out of the room, which then drops him into an arena. And you find out that Exterminatrix is the main villain. So if you see any of the variant covers with the girl with the like the black leather with the red hair, that's apparently Exterminatrix. So then he has to fight someone. Who does he fight? The Ronin. Who is the Ronin? You guessed it, Clint Barton. So they have a throwdown. Clint ends up, losing. And being turned into actual gold. Like, Exterminatrix actually turns him to gold, which then leaves Hawkeye alone, so Hawkeye leaves. And it says that's the end. So I think this was a one shot. It was definitely interesting. I'm giving this book like a 7 out of 12, mostly because the art was really good, but the story was like really kind of hard to follow and moved very quickly. But there were some really cool parts in it, like I really like the masquerade scene. I like the outfit design. I liked certain things in here that were kind of interesting. So I definitely didn't think it sucked, but I didn't think it was the greatest book either. So if you want to check it out, cool. If not, I think you could skip over it and just see when he pops in wherever. But he was part of this universe's Ultimates. So
Have you read Ultimate Spider-Man? Just out of curiosity.
I think I read the first one and I was like, meh, don't care. Like, I just like I'm also not a Peter Parker fan. I like Ben Reilly as my Spider-Man. Like Ben Reilly and Miguel were my two Spider-Man growing up. Like I don't know why. I think it's because Ben didn't come with all the bullshit, like all the decades of being this like whiny nerd that ended up being like, I'm like, why is he complaining? He's like got the hottest girl in the world. Like, this doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which girl he has. It's the hottest girl in the world. Like, so I'm just like, Peter's an idiot. Like, which is I think why I like Ben, because he had a little more soul searching to do as a clone. So, but I do hear a lot of great things about this book. And I know a lot of people that love it. I just personally don't really care. But whatever. Go for it.
I mean, so it has a lot of talking in most books. Like, it's mainly just the characters just talking. There's not a lot of action in these stories, in this story. Like, it's really not. But I'm
This is
telling you,
Hickman, right?
man,
Like Hickman,
yes.
that's why there's a lot of
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Like, it's just so good. And, like, he's had two
talking.
artists. He's had Messina and Cecchetto. Is that how you pronounce his name? He's had both of them. And usually, when he has Messina as his artist, it's like the fill-in. And both times, they were like just sit down, dinner. That was the whole damn book. And like the way the characters engaged, man, it was masterpiece. It was so much better than like 10 pages of splash page fights. Like, and that's crazy. But like this story, everything. I don't know, man. I like this Spider-Man. I do. I like
Though that's fine. Everyone's
Peter,
entitled to their opinions and everybody's got different stuff they dig. So, I
like
also am
Peter's
not a big
not
Hickman fan, so
like it's nice to see Peter happy. Like he's not bitching and moaning. Like that's nice. Like it's not, you know, I don't know. It's just happy Peter, man. MJ's not very happy, but I mean, you wouldn't be either if your husband just all of a sudden just became, you know, a year ago Spider-Man and now everybody's in danger. So
That's true.
this book goes month by month. like literally month by month. So like we're in the month of September on the first page. And it's you start out with Wesley, the right-hand man of Kingpin, and he's just like he's on the phone and he's getting ready to get into his car, and then all of a sudden, like he just gets kidnapped. Like there's really no explanation as to what's happening. And you just see the car go away. And then all of a sudden, now you see him, he's like tied up, and they go to take his gag off. I mean, everybody knows who Mr. Negative is. Everybody knows what he looks like. Wasn't much of a surprise. I mean, you just see the black hand with the white outline. It's cool. I kind of like his character in this. It's all right. You get his backstory in this, which is, I mean, I didn't know who the hell Mr. Negative really was. I just knew of him. Because, granted, yeah, listen, I started reading in 99, but I was a comic book snob and read like the 70s Spider-Man, and like those books were only $2 a piece back in 1999. So,
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
but he's just trying to pretty much like most of this issue is Mr. Negative is trying to get information from Wesley to take over the Kingpin. And like I said, it tells you his backstory, which I don't know much of his backstory, before, but like he's pretty much just like a poor immigrant, him and his sister, and his sister finds out that he can make people like manipulate him to do what he wants. And she uses that to her advantage, and like they become like drug dealers pretty much. Damn near every Spider-Man's villain that doesn't have like cool powers, almost all of them, they're all drug dealers at one point. Like they push something. Except, I mean, he's got cool powers and he's still a drug dealer. And then, like, I don't know, this is the only book that they kind of do this. They kind of jump around, like, other stuff's going on. So, like, Uncle Ben's alive in this book. Don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Well, him and J. Jonah Jameson are trying to figure out a way to, like, tell the story of, like, they know what everything's going on and they know the kingpin's behind it. But like nobody's listening to their newspaper. Who the hell reads the newspaper 2025? So like they're trying to figure it out, and then like they just stare at a picture of the Kingpin on the wall because like they have their little board and everything. And then all of a sudden now we're shipped to Harry Osborn and Dr. Octavius are in his lab, and Harry finds something very interesting in the lab. He finds a bottle, like a jar, and it has a spider in it. And he asks Otto, "What is this?" And he says, "I can't tell you that." And I'm like, we all know what this is. We know exactly what it is. Then we go back to Mr. Negative's backstory, and it tells the time that him and the Kingpin, this is why he doesn't like the Kingpin. The Kingpin's the only man that he could not manipulate. And he bowed down to the Kingpin. And that's why he kidnapped Wesley to get the weakness he wants to know. It's driving him nuts. So he keeps like trying to push and trying to break Wesley the whole time. And then all of a sudden, now here's spoilers. He's like, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. And he's like, he just keeps pushing it, right? Like, whatever power he has, he just keeps pushing it. And then he's like, I work for the Kingpin, but that's not all I do. And he's like, I'm Mysterio. And Mr. Negative's like, yeah, Mr. Negative's eyes get huge. And then he goes, I'm one of them. And he's like, tell me everything. So then now we cut to the next day. Man, Wesley is, Mr. Negative let him go. I mean, obviously, we don't know what happened, but I mean, it ain't hard to figure it out. There's a meeting of the Mysterios, and you got so you have Wesley is one of them, Mr. Negative's sister is one of them, Robbie Robinson is one of them. I'm not sure who the other guy is. They might have told like who it is, but like I haven't really seen him in the book, maybe just like once or twice when they do this. And then Gwen Stacy is a Mysteria. Yeah, she's married to Harry
What?
Osborn. Yeah, she's married to Harry Osborn in this book too, by the way.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
And he's the Green Goblin in the book,
Okay.
which that's cool. But like they're having this meeting, and she keeps asking, Gwen keeps asking Wesley, she's like, "Are you all right? Like, what is wrong with you?" And hold on, I'm getting to it. While all this is going on, you got somebody's apartment's blowing up. You got so now, like, the Sinister Six in this book is you got Mole Man, Black Cat, which is not the normal Black Cat, it's her dad, and then
Well,
she
the
like
original
takes the
Black Cat.
moniker. Who else? Shit. Mysterio, Bullseye, but he's on the cover, like he's like the main guy on the cover. He's nowhere in this book. Yeah. What's even crazier
That's
is
fair.
like Spider-Man is literally just in a small panel in this book, and that's it. That's the only time he shows up. He doesn't
So
say
this was
anything.
mostly about the Sinister Six then.
Yeah, like this is mainly just it's Mr. Negative's backstory and like his next move. And like he's got his warriors like making moves on everybody. And then all of a sudden, like Wesley has this look in his eyes. And Mr. Negative's sister goes, "I've seen this look on 1,000 men before." And Gwen's like, "Who did this?" And she goes, "My brother." And then all of a sudden Wesley removes his robe and he has C4 strapped all the way around him
Oh
and
no.
detonates it, and it blows up the entire room of Mysterio's, and that's how it ends. So like we don't know if anybody survived, we don't know what happened. All you know is that room blew up. That's it.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's a pretty good book. So.
Yeah, but and I'll tell you what, man, people were not happy that they had like filler artist Messina in this book. He's just as good. This book, 12 out of 12, man. I had so much fun with this book. I really
Woo!
enjoy that
That's
series.
some high praise.
Yeah, like this, if you like the cover, you're gonna like the book.
That's awesome. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're gonna go to this section where we're gonna talk about our three favorite covers in our collection, right? So I did mine digitally because I didn't want to dig all mine out. And mine pretty much look like their covers. So I'm going to show mine first. I'll talk a little bit about each one and why they're my favorite. And then you can do yours and just hold them up. It's fine. Let me go back to sharing. All right. My first book is Avengers Annual 22. So this book was the very first comic I remember buying. Like legitly buying by myself. This was what, 1993?
I wasn't even
So
born yet.
right? So this book is not only an annual, so the story's kind of self-contained, but that is Scott McDaniel art.
That's cool.
And that made me fall in love with Scott McDaniel's art. So that's why I ended up reading Nightwing. It's why I ended up reading Daredevil. A lot of other stuff he's done and become friends with Scott. So this book tells the story of Bloodwraith. That's the guy on the left. And you find out that he is a descendant, or he is the when you pull the Ebony Blade and you are not a descendant of the Kane family or the Dane family, which is from the Knights of the Round Table, you will be possessed by this spirit called Bloodwraith, which is the blood of the sword. So when the sword kills someone, it actually absorbs their soul. That's what the Ebony Blade does. So this was the Avengers. That's like we call it the B team, right? So it's like Black Knight, Hercules, Circe, Scarlet Witch, Vision. There was somebody else in there, but basically, like original Avengers are now off being West Coast Avengers. This is the B team, right? So it's a really cool Black Knight story. It's a really cool, like history kind of thing, like an alternative Arthurian legend stuff that I really loved. And this book, like the cover is just so badass. And it's so 90s, right?
Yeah, look at that cape, man.
Right? Like both of their capes. Like it's freaking nuts. Like this could have been a Spawn cover in my head, right?
The only thing it's missing is the pouches.
Right? Well, he does have some like leg bands right
Yeah.
there, so but that's one of the reasons I love absolutely love this cover, because it made me fall in love with comics. Like it made me fall in love with art. My next one is Batgirl number 12 from 2016, or no, 20 2010 2010 sorry, 2010. This was the very first Art Germ cover I owned. And I'm pretty sure it's the first one he published for a major publisher. But I also love Stephanie Brown. She is my favorite Batgirl. Now she's back to being spoiler, but I loved her as Batgirl. She made her own Birds of Prey. And this was actually a cool cover, because like this is the issue where she really like the second, this is the beginning of the second arc, and she really, really comes into being Batgirl. Because the first 12 issues were like kind of figuring out if she can be Batgirl instead of spoiler, or what the differences really are. This one really, she comes into it. And I just love this art. Like who doesn't love like a badass chick who's just been like in a fucking brawl, and you know she won, right?
I like the I don't know, man, the color. Like that's what I like about it. It stands out. And it looks like it's raining. That's pretty cool.
I just like the outfit's torn and stuff, so it looks like it's not like Batman where you never see it get torn.
Right.
This is actually like holy crap, like she actually took a beating and it got her uniform ripped up. But
She
I
needs to
really
tell
love this
Batman she
cover.
needs a new suit.
Well,
She needs whatever he's got.
I also loved her suit because it had that purple underneath, like the spoiler purple,
Now,
which I
was
really
she
thought
the
was
one that
good.
was Robin?
She was Robin
Okay.
for like 3 issues. I loved every second of it. I think she's still my favorite Batgirl. My last one is Batwoman number one from J.H. Williams, and Hayden Blackman. This was the very first issue of what was the detective run called Elegy, and this, the J.H. Williams art is so good. Like it goes throughout all the books. It is the most immersive art I've ever seen in a book, and this cover just, it's iconic to me. I love Batwoman. She's also like one of my favorite characters in the Bat family. And this really, and it really set the change of her whole backstory. Like this is where you find out she's Bruce's cousin. And her cousin on the other side becomes Flamebird later, and that's her Robin. She's in a relationship with the Question. And Alice makes her first appearance in here, which is basically her Joker, but it's her twin sister who she thought was dead. And she's just as much of a psychopath as the Joker is, and it's awesome. But this cover, just when I saw it, I was like, holy shit, I need to buy this. Like I just want to buy it for the cover. Like I almost didn't read it. I was like so enamored with the cover, and then I started flipping through it, and I'm just like, this is crazy, because like the art and the words like flow into each other sometimes. And like I said, it's like an immersive comic when Williams was doing it. And it's sad that he ended up not being able to fulfill the end of that, and then passing it on to McCarthy. But McCarthy did do a good job with it. I just really, really fucking love G.H. Williams, and I'll buy anything he does.
All the covers from that story are awesome, man. I read that on DC Infinite because on your recommendation, and that's awesome. Like it's such a good story.
I told, and
I
the
have
art's like
no
so
idea.
good. It just like flows in and out, and It just flows with the story and it's just so good. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. Like,
Like I had
I
no
love it so
idea.
much.
Like I had no idea who the hell that woman was. I didn't know. I read what I like. You read what you like. Half the shit that some people like, I've never even heard of. Like
Right?
I, it's honest. Like, and I'm open to. I'll read anything, man.
Right. It's like when you get into like the real like indie stuff, like the Milk and Cheese and the Fat Ninja and stuff like that. Like people are like, "What is that?"
I'm that guy, dude. I'm like, what the hell did you just show me? I've seen
So,
some weird things.
all right, what's your three? Let's see.
All right, so you had like all these cool stories, and you're like, man, the story was great. I loved it. I just picked three really cool covers.
No, it's totally fine.
So, all right. RIP the current Daredevil run. God, it was awful. It was bad. It was really drawn out, but it had a really cool cover. So this is the second printing, and this was in the first issue. It was a splash page in the second, in the first issue.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Okay, so when they did this, right, the art in this book, they had multiple artists, but they knocked it out of the park. It was great. Now the story, trash, terrible. Just throw it away, start over, give me somebody new. I'm sorry, but it was so bad. Like you gave me like the seven deadliest sins, but you dragged it out for 25 issues, and then you gave me no, there was no
Resolution.
winner. Yeah,
Yeah.
no winner, no loser, no nothing.
Wow.
Like nothing. They
Who
just
was
kind
the
of like
writer on
stared
that
off into the
run?
distance. Who is it?
Who's the writer on that run?
Ahmed?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he,
Yeah, I think
listen.
he's one of the guys that helps write the show too, which is weird.
Well, they need to get the other guys to help him write the comic book because that's bad. So, anytime you got Dr. Doom, Rodney
Oh,
Doom,
yeah.
T-Rex, like
I love that cover. It's so
that's just
good.
cool. Like that's awesome. I mean,
Rex Doom.
I'm not a Fantastic Four guy by any means. I try to buy like all those little compact books because I mean that's a great price.
Is.
Even Marvel's, like it's what, $14.99. So I read the one that they put out that was Hickman, and I do like his stories. Now, yeah, he's a little slow at some points, but like it just delivers a really good story. So I think this one was written by, I think it's Ryan North, almost positive. So, but yeah,
That's awesome. I bought
Dr.
that
Doom.
same cover for the same reason. I fucking love Dr. Doom, and as a dinosaur, why not?
Like whoever came up with this idea, like this was Alex Ross's like 100% idea. The man's a genius. But if it's not, whoever this is, he needs to give that man a kiss. For real.
Right.
All right, so the last one, I went. All right, so I saw this. Oh hell, I don't even remember where I saw it. Probably Facebook. But I was like, I'm that guy that I don't like to buy offline because shipping is $10 and there's just no need for that. So I went to Three Rivers Comic Con for the first time ever this past summer. So I had this book. This was like the number one book that I wanted to find. And I'm not sure which Batman issue it is because I didn't read the run. Because I mean, in 2015, I don't know what I was doing, but I wasn't reading comics at the time. And I really liked The Mask.
Okay.
So like finding this cover, they did a Mask movie poster, but it's the Joker.
Oh yeah, I
And
remember
like that's awesome.
that. Was that Batman Man Who Laughs or the Batman Who Laughs maybe?
I don't know. It says the Batman. I know, like on the cover, it says the Batman from cowl to scowl. Here, we'll see what it is.
Gonna say let me search for it.
I've never even opened this damn thing. I think it's
Nope,
Scott
just
Snyder.
Batman 40. It's just Batman 40 from the New 52.
Oh, dude, the first page of the book, you got Mr. Freeze freezing everybody. That's pretty dope. I've never even opened it. Why have I never read this? You got a T-Rex in the. So we're talking about the cool Doom T-Rex. There's a Joker T-Rex just chilling.
So that is during the death of the family, I believe. Or no, it's after that. No, it might be the end of the death of the family era of Snyder's run of Batman. That would be why there's a lot of Joker in there. But
Oh, I
it was
remember
really
when
good.
he cut his face off and then he reattached it and then,
Yeah, and Detective, that was awesome.
yeah, I actually remember buying that trade paperback. That's one of the like I spent my own hard-earned money on that book.
Nice.
Yeah, it was back whenever what like $14.99. That was awesome.
Yeah, that'd been about right for a paperback. Yeah.
Yeah,
So.
man, I love reading. I read all the damn books I own. Well, for the most part, except if it has just a cool cover, because like you know, I'm not gonna go back and read 1 through 39, even
Right.
though is this would be the same run as the Court of Owls, right?
Yeah, Court of Owls was the first part of that run. Yeah.
That's fun.
I'll be honest, it like at the death of the family was kind of like the last good chunk of that run for me, at least. After that, like it got weird and then Gordon became Batman and it was awkward. Yeah, yeah.
They
Anyway,
change things way too much.
like I like Scott Snyder's writing a lot. Like I do. I love his writing a lot. But I was just like, I think he just kind of got like bored with it.
Well,
So
his absolute Batman is something fierce.
yeah, I love the writing in it. I just don't like the art. Like it's just not my style. That's all. Like it's not that it's bad art. It's just it's not my style art. Like I don't dig it.
A lot of people just don't like big brute Batman, and I'm like, dude, I'm for it. Like when he took the little plier things and took the bat symbol off his chest, and it was a fucking axe. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know if
Yo,
I lost
you're good, you're good, you're
that.
good.
Like, I'm here for it. Like,
Yeah.
just give me big brute Batman. Like, I'm cool with
Yeah,
that. Like, it's awesome.
I thought that part was cool. I really love all of these videos people are shooting as cosplay Absolute Batman though.
Yeah, dude, and they're huge. Like, they're like.
Yeah, they're huge and it's hilarious. Like it's like, oh, like they'll come in as regular Batman and then they'll be like they'll see their villain like in the hallway and then they'll be like, hold on, and they go in the bathroom and they come back out as fucking Absolute Batman.
Did you see the absolute Joker that they're premiering in December?
No, I have not seen it yet, but I'm
It's
sure I will see a lot of it in the next couple of weeks because I'll be at New York and Baltimore
Yeah, I'm
for
telling you right
those.
now, little wimpy Batman would not be able to. He'd get his ass whooped.
Yeah.
I think
Well, I
Big
know
Brute
like
Batman is going to get his ass.
there was a really funny thing where it was like somebody, it was like Commissioner Gordon talking to Absolute Batman. It's like just one dude going back and forth and he's like, all right, cool. Let me see the Rogues Gallery. He's like, all right, first up, Poison Ivy. And they like shows him this picture of like one of her like ghoulish kind of dudes. He's like, what the hell is this? And then it's like, all right, well, who's next? He's like Mr. Freeze, and he looks like a White Walker almost. And
Yeah.
he's like, what the fuck is this? This is creepy. What? And he's like, all right, last up, Bane. And he's like, oh, easy. And then he looks at him. He's like, holy Jesus, I'm done. I'm just done. And it's just really funny.
The Mr. Freeze, like that character was just kind of, I don't know. That's the only one I didn't really like. I didn't really care for that two issue story arc. It was just weird. I mean, but isn't that the point though? Like, I don't want normal Mr. Freeze all poor, poor, pity me. My wife's dead and she's frozen because I can't figure it out. No, give me something cool. But I just didn't care for that character design.
I think Scott does a good job of breaking the mold because he kind of did it with the New 52 with both that and Swamp Thing. He did it with Batman Last Crusade, I want to think it was called. And then he's doing it with Absolute Batman. But he does it with a lot of stuff, and he does a good job of like reimagining characters to kind of fit a new world. Oh, and Metal, he did Metal. So all of that was tons of crazy. And I really liked a couple of the Batmans we got out of there too, so.
Now the metal one that I haven't read it. Is that that's the one that had like all the little one-offs of like the different variations, right? Like you had Lobo Batman. I do own that book. That's fucking cool.
And then you have like Green Lantern Batman, but it's not Bruce though, because it's like a girl. You have an Aquaman Batman who's also a girl. Or no, sorry. Green Lantern one is Bruce. Aquaman is not. There's what the hell is the one, the Flash one? It's something Menace. But that one's cool. There was a Cyborg one, there's a Joker one. Trying to think what the other ones are, but there's a bunch of different ones that I thought were kind of cool to see different versions of Batman, whatever. I thought it was cool, so yeah. I mean, but I also love when Dick Grayson is Batman though, because that little chunk of run we got was like everything young me wanted to see happen. And Grant Morrison wrote it extremely well. So Grant
I
Morrison and
like.
Dan DiDio, not Dan DiDio. Somebody, I forget who wrote the main Batman run, or the main Batman run. But he was an awesome Batman. So
Yeah, he was compassionate. He was sweet.
yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, even Commissioner Gordon noticed. Who's the new guy?
I just thought it was cool that they kind of flipped the script between him and Robin, because that's
Yep.
when Damian became Robin, and Damian was so much like Bruce.
He's an
So it's
asshole.
like, yeah, it's like he's a little asshole, and Dick's the guy that's like, dude, calm down. I've been in your shoes. Shut the fuck up.
I
I
like
don't
their
care. You're 10.
interaction. Yeah, I like
So,
their interactions. Like even like as Nightwing and Robin, like I really do enjoy those two together.
They are my favorite Robins, and they are my favorite of the Bat Children, I guess.
Nobody likes Jason Todd, we get it.
Yeah. I'm not a big who's the other one? The one that's Red
Tim
Robin.
Drake.
Tim Drake. I'm not a big R Tim Drake fan either. Like, but I loved Dick, and I loved Damian. It's the
Damien's
D's.
fun. Yeah,
Love the D.
Damien's
I mean,
fun.
wait a minute. Anyway, all right. So let's talk a little bit about what it's like to be a customer now. Because we really don't get to talk to a lot of people like this. So I guess like how'd you get into comics? What are your yeah, first let's go with how'd you get into comics?
Do you remember Batman Forever? Okay. Favorite Batman movie. A lot of people hate Val Kilmer. That's fine. I don't care.
He's my favorite Batman. He's not my favorite Bruce Wayne, but
George Clooney played really good Bruce Wayne, not a
yeah,
Batman. That was terrible.
I
All
agree.
right. So watching that movie and like the bright colors and like I really liked that. So right there, I like Batman. And my mom wanted me to get engaged into reading. So, I really like Batman and I'm enjoying like I have the little toys and everything. So we have a comic book store, the one in Bridgeport. That was the only thing we had when I was a kid. Like there was no big store, just a little tiny store. And I went in and purchased my very first Batman book. Couldn't tell you what it was. I know it was Batman. So, and then, as you get older, mom and dad would take you there like once a month and you could pick like, two or three books. And, back in 1999, 2000, back issues, if it wasn't like a major, major key, they're just like $1, $2. So
Excuse me, Jesus.
now you're lucky
Woo.
if, a back issue is $3 to $5.
Right. Yeah,
So,
that's why a lot of people like dollar diving.
oh, dude, I
So.
love to dollar dive. Because, like I said, I like to read. So, if I could
Sure.
find, that $5 to $10 book, and I don't care if it's got a chunk missing out of the cover, I just want to read the story.
Right. So, how big is your collection currently after reading all of these years? Ballpark, ballpark.
I'll tell you here in a second. According to CLZ, I have 724 books.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
yeah. Okay, so when I
Most
was
of
a
which are
kid,
Batman.
I had like, I'm gonna say maybe like 200 books. Well, when I moved from my parents' house, my dad had sold our house, so I didn't grab my comic books. I'm an adult, I didn't care. Kind of sad now, but I got back into it, I think, in 2022, 2023.
Okay.
I bought the run that's going on, Jeremy Adams' run of Green Lantern, which if you haven't read that, it is amazing.
Oh, it is phenomenal. It's probably
Yep.
the best run since Geoff Johns.
It's great. It's probably the most consistently good book DC's put out since it started.
Agree. Good God. Don't know what the hell's going on, but whatever. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Ooh. Anyway, so since you've gotten back into it, what other characters have really spiked your interest, besides Batman, obviously?
Sandman, Mystery Theater,
Okay.
written by Matt Wagner. I bought the book on a recommendation, and the guy who did the art, I can't think of his name off the top. I know his first name's Ed. And like the only thing he ever did was the Sandman Mystery Theater. Like every time I try to look this guy up, that's really all he was known for. And I bought the what are those, compendiums? I bought both of them, and it's amazing.
That's awesome.
Like the guy, it kind of reminds me of my favorite story is Long Halloween. So Tim Sale, it kind of has like his esque of like art style.
Right. I always thought it had a Tim Sale kind of Darwin Cookie vibe.
Yeah, and Matt, I mean, hell, Matt Wagner can draw himself. I like
Yeah.
his monster. Fuck, what is it? Batman, Monster and
Grendel.
Men.
Yeah, Batman Grendel.
I like that one too, but
Yeah.
he did another one. It was like a little mini series, Monst Men of Monsters versus Monsters. I don't know. He wrote it. He wrote
The
it and did
Monster
the art.
Men. Yeah. That was
Those
actually pretty
covers
good
are
too.
cool.
That's awesome. So what, I mean, you obviously read a lot of DC. What other books do you read? Like, is there like a Marvel book you specifically read?
So I read, my pool list, like all my pool books are mainly Marvel.
Really?
Yeah. But like DC, because like there's just so much going on. And like, I don't know. Like, I really like Batman. So like, it's just easier for me. Like I said, I have DC Infinite. So I was just like, all right, man, just get on
Right.
my iPad and just. But like, I do, what is it? I do Daredevil. Well, I did. I tried doing the. Death of the Silver Surfer, but that was the art was really good, but the story was really bland. Let me see. I read so much, man, it all just blends in together.
All good.
The new Spider-Man 94 series that came out this month, that's pretty cool. The Captain America with Chip Zdarsky.
Right.
That man got too much hate. He wrote a good Batman, damn it.
I agree.
It's not his
I like
fault.
Chip Zdarsky in general, so
He seems like a pretty cool guy.
yeah, like
Normally, like,
I loved his art on Sex Criminals, like it was great.
listen, I tried reading that. Okay. I
It's
try.
ridiculously weird. I know.
It is. How do I put this? What the hell is that? Like, I get it. I understand it. But who came up with that idea?
I imagine that they were both sitting around going like I imagine somebody brought up maybe like porn or something and they just went to town like that, but
It's just some of the things that like people are just like, man, we're just gonna roll with it.
I just love that the two main characters are drawn to look like Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick. Because that's his wife, is Kelly Sue DeConnick, is Matt Fraction's wife, is Kelly Sue DeConnick.
I didn't know that. That's actually pretty funny.
So when you read it again, you're going to be like, oh my God.
That just that makes it really funny. I like Philip Kennedy Johnson's Hulk.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, and like it's been they've had a lot of different artists, a lot of different artists in that book, but it's just they all stay with the same vibe, like dark, broody, evil monsters. All right, I lied to you. Yeah, a lot of it. Oh, I did Helverine. I did that. I'm not proud of
I mean, Justin really liked that book, so I thought it was a cool concept. So,
it. Yeah, really cool concept if it was Logan.
I like Deacon though, but I mean, if it was Logan, it would have been a little too overboard for me. So,
They dragged out so like they introduced that Hell Hulk, I think like issue 5. Brother, he didn't fight anybody. Neither did the Helverine for like 3 issues. And it was just like, man,
oh.
come on. Like, I'm paying $3.99 a book and I ain't getting shit.
Yeah, that
Cool
sucked.
covers. Cool covers. But
Yeah.
yeah, I
Jeez.
lied to you, man. I'm looking back at this. I got a bunch of DC. And I think, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those were Batman books.
Oh,
Yeah, I have a problem.
yeah.
Dark Patterns is fun. 3 issues. Each story is 3 issues. And it, you know, who is that? Dan Waters, Waiters?
One of the two, yeah.
Yeah, it's WATTER,
Yeah,
right?
I
Yeah,
think
the
so.
same guy that's writing Nightwing,
Yeah.
which I don't pull that, but I will read it. I read it a month behind, so it's pretty good.
It has. I really liked it when Tom Taylor was on it, though. Like, he
Yeah.
was crushing on that book.
Listen, every character that he wrote, like he. A lot of people give him shit for being too upbeat and too campy. Brother, I love it. Not everything's got to be dark and
Oh
broody.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Nightwing was always like the lighter side of Batman, I always like to put
Yeah.
it. You know, he was never like the dark brooding asshole that Bruce was. That's kind of why he left. He was like, I have enough of you, I'm leaving, going to Bloodhaven, bye. So
And what, listen, speaking of Batman, what makes him such an asshole? Like, why? Same thing pretty much happened to Dick. He watched his family die right in front of him, too, and he's not an asshole.
well, I think it just depends on how you take it, right?
And he's rich. He literally is rich.
Yeah, but he had the money to go around the world and train and do all that other shit, so you know, he probably was like, I'm just gonna be this, you know, this vengeance to stop all that. Like, as long as that existed in the world, he was gonna fight it.
Right.
But the Bruce side of him was always a lot more happy-go-lucky, a little more playboyish, because he had to keep up the appearance, right?
Right.
So, and that's why, like, in the movie versions, I liked Christian Bale the most playing both characters, if you have to take them both at the same time, the whole package. Because I thought he did the best at being dark and broody when he was Batman, and being the happy-go-lucky playboy when he was Bruce. And I thought he did great. So.
God, it's been a while since I watched those movies. It's been a while.
Well, it's been a
I
while since I've
liked.
watched those, and it's been a while since I've watched like the Tim Burton era stuff too.
Oh, I made so when it was Batman Day last Saturday, we had all the kids over to the house. We were carving pumpkins. I straight up made them watch Batman Forever on my TV. I was like, we gotta do it.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I guess what is your holy grail book? I guess
That I own or that I want.
both. What either or both. Like answer it as two separate questions.
So I own I have two grails that I own. I have the first appearance of Harley Quinn,
Okay.
Batman Adventures, which completed that whole series. I own all of them, all the
Nice.
first series. That was my 2025 goal, and the two annual or three annuals. And then Amazing Spider-Man 361, first appearance of Carnage.
Yeah.
I own all of those. I own the first three, like, what is it, 61, 62, 63. I own 360, which is like his little box. And then I own the first appearance of Cassidy. And there's another one. I think it's when the symbiote like detaches from Venom and it gets on Cassidy, and then like they completely forgot about that for a year. So
Oh
those are my
yeah.
two, yeah, those are my fur, those are my two grails that I own. I'm trying to think, what do I want? Oh, I know what it is. I want the first printing. I'm not even an X-Men guy. Not at all. There's too many characters, too much going on. But I want the first printing of God Love, Man Kills.
Oh, I mean, we get that in the store every once in a while. In fact, I think we had one not too long ago, to be
There's
honest.
one in St. Clairsville right now,
Yeah.
but you know, I ain't saved up enough money for that one yet.
Well, I mean, if it's something you want to put on hold, we can put on hold. You can just kind of let it linger in there for a little bit.
Yeah,
So,
it's a beautiful book.
yeah, it is. So, cool. All right, I think those are all the questions I have for you. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, okay, so since you run comic book shops, do you get ever get tired of talking about comic books?
Yes and no, I guess. So, yes, in the idea of it, like if there's something that happens in a book, or something where like when something happens, like in a creator does something stupid, like for instance the Red Hood thing, right? Like we really try to not bring politics into the store because comics are about escapism. We carry both sides of the aisle in the books. Stuff like that. Even though, most of them are going to be left leaning anyway, because just the nature of comics, right? So that kind of stuff just drives me nuts. I'm just like, yeah, I don't care about your politics. Like, I don't care about your cancel culture, whatever. Like that part kind of sucks. like when the whole Neil Gaiman thing happened, like that was talked about in like every single store. And then I was like, I'm tired of talking about this, but I will talk to customers about it. I will just try to hurry the discussion along and kind of cut it off when I need to before I go nuts.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I get it.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't, because I love hearing people's attachment to it, right? Like, I love hearing why you love this character. But I also want to tell you about why I love certain characters too. So if you're cool
Oh
with it,
yeah.
I'm cool with it. But I've made so many good friends in this industry by just doing that. It's been a very interesting ride the last 15 years for me. 16-ish, whatever. But I mean, I've made so many friends just talking about random stuff and finding like, oh, you also love this character. That's awesome. Like, let's talk about it even more, you know? And I will go down really weird rabbit holes with people. So.
I've been there, man. It's fun. That's why I wanted to be on here. Like, I really like.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that I'm around. They don't give two shits about comic books. They don't care. They don't care what just came out. They don't care if there's a cool story. Like, it's nice to find like other people that are, similar interests,
Yeah.
and it's nice.
I think the other time that it sucks is like, for instance, like when She-Hulk came out, right? Like everybody was like, you were on one side or the other. There was no middle ground to this argument. It was either you liked the show or you hated it. And most of the people that hated it never read the book. They never read like the John Byrne run, they never read the Dan Slott run. For those of us who did, it was those books come to life, because it was like literally how those books were written. Sometimes it's hard to justify, like, hey man, you know you're in a comic store. Did you actually read? But that's, yeah, that would be the only time that it's not fun to talk about comics anymore. So.
So you say that the Avengers book was the first book you ever bought, right? All right. What was the first story that made you really fall in love with comic books? Like story arc, not just one shot book.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So oh, that's a great question. 'Cause like where I was at, like we didn't really have access to a lot of graphic novels. So my stories were very scattered and incomplete for a long time. But when I got to college, this beautiful thing called the internet started happening. One of the books I read, two books that made me fall in love with it. One's a Marvel, one's a DC. The first one was The Watchmen, because that book was just so well done. And it really made you think about how, like, the role of police and what they do and government kind of works in there too. And then the other one was Avengers Disassembled. Weirdly, through that story, I fell in love with Jack of Hearts, dies at the end. And I'm like, what the fuck? Spoilers.
I liked him in the not this last run of She-Hulk, but the run before, where those two were intertwined. I actually really he's really funny, man, and like inadvertently funny, and it's just so much fun.
And it's hard to find another character named Jonathan, so I remember a Hawkeye mini. It was a Hawkeye four shot that came out in the mid-90s that I read, that I really loved Hawkeye because of that book too. I think Brett Breeding colored it or inked it. But yeah, there was so much stuff to consume at that point. And when I got to college, more of my friends were into it, so we kind of all started sharing our comics and reading a bunch of stuff. Like, I remember reading The Invisibles, The Sandman, like the Neil Gaiman Sandman stuff.
That shit's
Oh
weird and crazy, brother.
yeah, I'm rereading it now. Since the show came out, I've been rereading it, and the Orpheus story episode and the Orpheus story book are one of my all-time favorite things that have been adapted ever. So mostly because I love the story of Orpheus and the character of Orpheus in Greek mythology. So
Yeah,
cool.
I tried to read some of that, man, and I'm just like, I can't. To each your own, but brother, just give me. I just want, like, I don't know. I just want a superhero story. I don't know.
Right.
I try to read some of them, like, non-superhero. I like, what is that? Feral.
Yeah.
I like that. And what else did I read? Red Coat. He ain't a
Oh, I
superhero.
love Redcoat.
That guy, that poor guy.
Well, as a Freemason, and the bad guys being sort of Freemasons in the first book, it was quite hilarious for me, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think the funniest part was seeing, what is it? It's who is it? Ben Franklin naked on the damn table, mad that he didn't get struck by the lightning. Oh, man.
So, all
I
right.
enjoyed that.
Well, we've pretty much run out of time. So, thank you so much, Zach, for coming on. This was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it, and you're more than welcome to come back at any time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. Awesome. I hope everybody listening and watching had a lot of fun. Make sure you shop local. If you stop in our stores, even cooler. If you see Zach randomly shopping, say hi to him, talk to him about some stuff. Hopefully, I'll see some people up in Canton this weekend. If not, I'll see some people in New York. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back. Excuse me, Jesus. We'll be back next week with Justin, and we'll see how his vacation went. And he and I are going to prep for New York, and it's going to be crazy. So, thanks a lot, everybody. I'm going to try not to die. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.